Welcome to Highly Questionable, old school style. It's just me and Bomani Jones giving you a lot of rat-a-tat-tat sports. Let's do it.
Are the Steelers a fraudulent 11-0 team?
All right, because we're in the middle of an apocalypse, you get Wednesday afternoon football. Baltimore doesn't have any of their players, and Pittsburgh ends up looking like they're just dink and dunk. And after the game, Mike Tomlin's not happy, says it's a JV performance. I'm a little tangled up here, Bo, because usually at any time that we've been covering football since the Dolphins went undefeated in 1972, if a team gets to 11-0, we're not doing anything with fraudulent. This is a very good football team. I understand that the pandemic and sample size make these measurements difficult, but this is a football team that can beat you a lot of different ways. Yesterday, they chose a way that felt anemic. There was way too much short stuff there, but at the end, the Baltimore Ravens did the backdoor cover thing. It didn't feel at any point to me like the Ravens were going to win that football game, not even at the end when it got a little tight.
Yeah, but I think you made the argument for fraudulence right there when you talked about them doing all the short stuff, because Ben Roethlisberger is at the bottom of the league at air yards per completion. Like, the short stuff is what the Steelers have become. They have one win to speak of, which is a three-point win at Tennessee. Yeah, they beat the Browns, and the Browns are 8-3, but the Browns have given up more points this year than they have scored, right? The Steelers are beating the teams that are on their schedule, but they have not been particularly tested. The one thing I think we all feel good about, though, is they got a hell of a defense. Counterpoint. Bud Dupree just tore his ACL. So, no, there was nothing impressive about that game, but I don't know how impressive you could be with all the circumstances that surrounded it. But they are an 11-0 team that none of us think is the best team in their conference. That doesn't make them frauds, but that is a little unique.
Did it hurt you yesterday? Did it hurt you as an old man watching RG3 out there not looking like what we remember from the glory days of RG3 before that injury?
Well, the thing was, the glory days are like a couple of months, right? Here's what I did notice, though. He ran more willingly in this game than he has since he hurt himself, after which he decided he wanted to be a pocket passer. That 39-yard run he had was the longest run that he has had since 2012. He didn't move like he used to, but he could still move, and it's kind of funny. The quarterback that he did not want to be, which was a quarterback that relied on his athleticism in that way, is the quarterback that the NFL now covets. And he looked good on that drive when he ran until he pulled his hamstring. And then he had to take it one step too far and say they would have won the game if he did not have the hamstring problem. I mean, maybe they would have had a chance. Maybe somebody can say that. You can't say that. How have you not learned anything in the last 8 years about what you can and cannot say?
Was anyone a winner in the Russell Westbrook, John Wall trade?
Yo, that is a fantastic question. So the Wizards traded John Wall plus a first round pick in order to get Russell Westbrook, putting the Rockets in this interesting place where the second year in a row, they decided that they could trade an untradeable contract by taking back another contract that people thought was untradeable. Not like a combination of those contracts, one for one. I'll give you my problem if you give me your problem. And I have no idea how this is actually going to make either team better. We ain't seen John Wall play NBA basketball in 2 years, so there's no telling what he is going to be. But that guy coming off an Achilles tear, that's not something that gives you great cause for optimism. Now you have Russell Westbrook going to D.C. And look, Brad Beal at one level is like, finally, it can be my team. That's not really how Russell Westbrook gets down. And in fact, part of why he wanted to leave Houston is he wanted to go back to being on something that's a little bit more like his team. What's Scott Brooks going to do? Scott Brooks used to coach Russell Westbrook. Did he ever demonstrate his ability to get Russell Westbrook to stop doing anything? I don't know if this helps anybody, but it'll be fun to see the guys in different places.
Today's sports fan is more capable of being smart about how you're doing the value on players than ever before. And Russell Westbrook, Bomani, as the advanced metrics movement has made its way into individual measurements, Russell Westbrook at any time in basketball history before right now, as a former MVP, as the averager of a triple-double, we would, as an all-star last year, that is a player at any point that people would have wanted. But in this particular climate where when you look at him as a three-point shooter, and by volume, he's one of the worst three-point shooters in the history of the league. And the game has changed around him, and I keep waiting for the aging process to catch up with his athleticism, because he's more athletic than anyone in that sport. Over years, we've been watching this. One of the most athletic athletes we've ever seen. I keep expecting that to age poorly, and it was in the All-Star game inefficiently last year as they got the most efficiency from him at center that you could get. This is all this is to me, Bomani. This is the Washington Wizards saying to their fan base, we want someone who's not John Wall. And this is the Rockets saying, if Westbrook wants out of here, let's get John Wall and just gamble on the fact that somehow, some way, he can be the same player he was when he was healthy. I don't think that's possible, but that's all that's happening here.
This also means they got to trade James Harden, right? Like, how in the world is the John Wall, James Harden thing supposed to work? Because there's no point in having John Wall if John Wall doesn't have the ball in his hands. And that's not really what James Harden's get down is. The other part is what could actually wind up being worst case scenario is if John Wall and James Harden enjoy hanging out with each other too much, because enjoy hanging out with each other. They're going to be in Houston hanging out.
Well, Monty, what am I allowed to expect from John Wall when he was healthy? We're talking about a guy. I know we're grading on this awful Wizards curve, but you can make an argument that when he was healthy, he was a part of the best Wizards teams that we've seen over the last 30 years. So what can he possibly be on the high end coming off of an Achilles tear when he needs his athleticism to be faster than everyone else?
And Achilles that he tore twice. Let us not forget that this took so long for him to come back because that same Achilles re-ruptured because he had a fall in his house. I don't feel like anybody has any idea what it's going to be, but like John Wall, if John Wall is not fast, what's the point?
Coming up next on my Soul Stevie show.
But what I find interesting here is this is the most commitment that LeBron James has made to a future in a place literally his entire career.
Highly Questionable is presented by Guinness. Game time is Guinness time. Please drink responsibly. Part of happy hour. And in part by Duluth Trading Company. Tough, ingenious workwear. Designed and tested by tradesmen. Are Kawhi and Paul George actually the problem for the Clippers?
All right, so we're always having these discussions about the idea, is winning what creates chemistry? Is chemistry what creates winning? There clearly was a problem in that Clippers locker room that's been reported on now for months, that Kawhi Leonard, who, why would he get preferential treatment given that they waited around for him and the whole league waited around for him? He was coming off of a championship and they traded a bunch of first-round picks because he wanted to play specifically with Paul George, even though he could have picked 15 other guys and we all would have said, yeah, before Paul George for 7 first-round picks, he got preferential treatment. And now Paul George is on the Up and Smoke podcast saying, they didn't use me right last year. I should have been used not like Ray Allen. I need more flow. More rhythm. I need to get the ball more. And Bomani, this is the kind of stuff that makes an appearance when you put two stars together and they realize, like Chris Bosh famously said, you do not realize the sacrifices you're making until you are making them. Paul George, the other guys in that locker room, clearly didn't think that he deserved the kind of superstar treatment that Kawhi Leonard did. And it seems that no one thought that Kawhi Leonard should be getting that superstar treatment in a way that made Montrezl Harrell leave, because he's like, wait a minute, there are only two valuable guys here.
Yeah, and some of this, well, like Kawhi is going too far, because look, it's not his fault if they'll let him get away with some of the things that they did. And they didn't all sound particularly egregious, but one of them was the idea that they scheduled practices around what Kawhi Leonard wanted. The other one was the idea that sometimes practice would start late or the plane would leave late because they knew that Kawhi lived in San Diego, and so it would take him longer to get there. Kawhi knew how far San Diego was from Los Angeles when he decided to live there. You schedule around that and you make it work. Like, I live far away is not an excuse when you're the one who decided that you would live far away. And what it seems to come back to me with both Kawhi and Paul George, it seems a little less about the special treatment than the fact that if you are going to receive that treatment, there's a measure of responsibility that comes with it. And they got to own that. Like, Kawhi Leonard is not a rah-rah leadership guy. Okay, I get you, but you got to be on point in every single way if you're going to be that dude. And if you're Paul George and they're going to treat you a similar way, you can't come out after the season and blame everybody else for the problems. Because what we heard along the way, particularly with Paul George, they felt like the dude wasn't accountable. And so if you are going to be a superstar, with that comes the responsibility of being accountable. And both of those dudes are going to have to figure that out, or figure out the fact that just because somebody will let you do something doesn't necessarily mean it's the best idea for you to do.
Omani, powerful people set the terms at the start of a relationship. When Kawhi Leonard is getting there and you're building everything around him as the amusement park in the middle of everything it is you're doing while competing with the Lakers in their building and not wanting him to go to the Lakers, when you set those terms at the beginning of the relationship, it's hard to enforce the other stuff because they treated Kawhi Leonard like a superstar, mortgaging everything in order to get him. And then you just got to hope that he behaves like he's a common person when you haven't started that way.
Yeah, but see, that's his relationship with Steve Ballmer and Lawrence Frank and those people with the Clippers. The relationship that we're talking about is him with the actual Los Angeles Clippers, the one that wear the same clothes as him when they play games. He's going to have to get that figured out with them. So if the Clippers went too far and giving them too much rope, okay, that's happened. At some point, those dudes are going to have to take the responsibility to say to themselves, just because they'll let me do this, doesn't mean that this is the way that I should go about it. You should think these other guys should get over it because they know how the superstar game works. Well, they don't look at you in the way where they're okay with those things going on. Like some of this stuff, people would probably be okay with it if it was LeBron James. Y'all ain't LeBron James.
Bigger deal for the Lakers, LeBron's extension or AD's?
All right, so LeBron James signed a 2-year, $85 million contract extension that will keep him contractually obligated to the Lakers until 2023. Anthony Davis then signed a 5-year contract for $190 million that will keep him there at least until 2024. Now, the bigger deal to me is Anthony Davis signing the long extension, or maybe it is the LeBron thing. Like, the big issue is they signed contracts to say that we will both be here together. It's very difficult to separate one from the other. Now, Davis has got a possibility of being there a year without LeBron James, but at some point, the dude's going to age. So you would think that Anthony Davis might want to stick around and want to do this with somebody else. But what I find interesting here is this is the most commitment that LeBron James has made to a future in a place literally his entire career. Like, he started with Cleveland because he had to, and then he signed the shorter extension to 3 years and then set up 2010. He clearly didn't plan to stay in Miami very long. He treated the Cavs like a rental at every step. We thought it may be 4 years with the Lakers and then a retirement, but he sees a light at the end of the tunnel and keep on going. So he is in on the Lakers like he has never been before. Now let's see how long Anthony Davis is in on being his sidekick.
I have talked to some people with the Heat who say, look, we don't know if Milwaukee got better or Philadelphia got better or Boston got better. We know the Lakers got better. And LeBron James gets to a place, and we've seen this over a decade, and I really wish we had appreciated the greatness more while we were watching it, because we did this same sort of thing to Michael Jordan where he was a ball hog who couldn't win before he then won all of them. And now we just turn the light on LeBron James as maybe he puts himself in position to win a whole lot of championships late at the end of a career when his body is still a marvel and never misses any games. I would say to you, Bomani, that I have been amazed at what it is that has happened with the career of LeBron James and the player empowerment and the fact that he found his fountain of youth in Anthony Davis, and we don't have to pick between them or more interesting contracts because this was the fountain of youth LeBron James wanted. Just go get me one player and I will age gracefully and win championships, and he gets to do it in Hollywood while in a Lakers uniform. Historically, he's going to break a whole bunch of big records in the next coming years here in the sport in terms of all-time greatness, and he's doing it in the traditional uniform.
Yeah, I do wonder this, though. If at some point Anthony Davis realizes that he's there to serve LeBron James, like, that's just kind of the setup when you're a dude with this clout that LeBron has. Everybody's there to serve him. At some point, that thing is probably going to need to be set up in a way to serve Anthony Davis. That could happen in the length of his contracts. What happens when that day comes? How easy is that going to be for LeBron? Because now this is something for us to consider since LeBron has agreed to basically stay here for the rest of his career.
Highly Questionable is presented by Guinness. Game time is Guinness time. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour. Do you question which lineman is more dynamic with the ball?
Bomani, in terms of joy in sports, how high do you rank fat guys with the football or giant guys with the football? Is it at the top of your list? Because for me, I don't know how it works for the guys who are thinner, but for me, I love it when there's jiggling joy running down the field.
It doesn't hit the same way, but I can be happy for you and thereby be happy
myself.
Okay,
thank you for sharing that. I appreciate that. You extending an empathy, a fat man empathy. Let's check in with a tackle eligible here first. Let's see what we have in a high school game.
Here we go.
Off me. Oh, get him a better number than 68.
He does have moves. He slithered through there like a credit card sliding in sideways. What else do we have here? We have another big man with the football. What number is he? What's going on in this one? Got hook and ladder. This is not great video.
Oh! Look
at
this.
He's got another gear.
Off me. Hey, man, that is some incredible cardiovascular conditioning from my man on this play. You'd have to agree.
Him pulling away from a secondary alarms me on behalf of that secondary. Like, that cannot be pulling away from you. I also think I called it a hook and ladder instead of a hook and lateral.
Yeah, let's run this again, though, right? Like, I want you to watch something in this clip where you say he's pulling away from the secondary. I don't think that's what really happens here, all right? So here we go. The hook, there's the ladder. He's got the ball, right? So it's some blocking that's going on. These guys caught him. They got there. And then he did the off me, and everybody else was like, I don't want that. And then they stopped.
So which is it? Is it hook and it's hook and lateral, isn't it?
I think it's lateral. I feel like it should have been, like, ladder. I don't know. Like, it is lateral.
All right.
It is.
All right. No, it's a good – let's just – I like being stumped by that. I think I've been saying it wrong my entire life.
Well, yeah, it's also a firefighting apparatus. But what is interesting is if you go to hook and ladder on the wiki page, it does a disambiguation. And on the hook and ladder page is hook and lateral because they know why the people are there in the first place.
Do you question if George Washington choked?
Bomani, do you know where the Maui Invitational is? Because college basketball is going ahead. Yes, okay. It's in Asheville. I don't know where we're going here. Does it matter? Because it could be the Maui Invitational in Asheville or anything else. But let's check in here with a game. You've got Jameer Nelson Jr. is in this game if you're not feeling old. Scottie Pippen Jr. is wandering around in Mohegan Sun somewhere playing basketball. Let's see what we have here.
Hey, George Washington and Hampton, go HBCU.
The inbound
Hampton stolen by had the ball. Now George Washington has the ball. Dunk. Oh!
And Shelton gets the rebound.
There we go.
No, you need to tie that game there.
Oh, yeah.
Ouch. Why are you so joyous there? Why are you enjoying that poor kid's misery so much?
Because it's a rule. When the HBCU wins a game against the not HBCU, we are all very, 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 very happy. That is why we are there. That is why we're here. We don't get so many victories at these kinds of things. So there we go. Way to go, Hampton.
All right. All right. A victory.
Yeah, I'll tell you this too. George Washington, remember they had Yinkadare when we were younger? They had some cats. I had a complete misunderstanding of what kind of school George Washington was. Like, I didn't misunderstand it the way I misunderstood Georgetown, but I was surprised to find out later in life that basically that was the black population at George Washington. They all kahoot.
I'm sorry to do this, but whenever I think Yinkadare word association, I think, is it seven career assists? Is it played many years in the league? And it's
seven,
some ridiculous
seven feels high.
Number.
Seven, I remember the first one. Seven feels high.
In Asheville, North Carolina, a replay of the Maui Invitational.
Okay, no sense of irony in the way that you deliver that. I mean, it's the Maui tournament. It's meant to be in Maui, not Asheville. Asheville, Bo, you're from that area. Like, you've been around that area. Asheville is not Maui in any way. But let's check in here. Texas ended up winning on a buzzer beater over North Carolina. But we're going to check in with South Carolina coach Frank Martin and Shaka Smart at Texas. Let's see what we have here. That's what he used to look like, the South Carolina coach. And now he has done that, and that looks like a different human being. The pandemic, he did not go crazy-haired. He decided, wow, I'm getting rid of everything. And so Shaka Smart does the reverse. Let's see what happens here. He goes from bald. What's this going to look like? Have you seen this, Bomani?
I have.
Let's see what we
you
have
will
here.
Understand why.
Yeah, that doesn't look like the same person anymore.
I don't, Shaka looking I don't like know. Me in like 2001 with that long sleeve undershirt under your polo. I remember that era. I had my hair the same way at this. And if you put that picture up right there, you just had up a Shaka Smart. Come on, man. Everybody thinking the same thing. He think he me. Yeah, that's right. He went from there before the quarantine, and then he came to the next place after the quarantine. Yeah, he think he me. He think he me. Now, after we've had this from Shaka Smart, let's go ahead and put up Frank Martin, because I see something interesting going on with Frank Martin, too. Go ahead
and put
Frank Martin
what
up.
Happened? What happened? What did you
like
see?
Frank
there?
Martin was there, and then Frank Martin decided to come on home. And you know what that tells me? He think he me. Okay. All these cats think they me. One way or another, man. I've never felt like more of an influential figure than I have watching these people with their quarantine follicular evolutions.
What just happened there? You made everything about this story about you.
no, no. They made everything about this story about me. I didn't tell them to do this. It just so happens they think they me.
All right, we're done here. Check out Bomani Jones. I tell you this every time. You need to go do it. The Right Time with Bomani Jones is something you need to be listening to. Don't get forgetful. Thanks for watching. Bomani, I am legitimately mortified at this point at what my hair looks like under here. Like, I mean, I got out of the shower today, and I looked like Robert Smith from the Cure if he were, like, bloated on cortisone and... But it is a total unmitigated disaster here that if I do this for a minute, it's going to be crazy.
I hope you don't think you me.
Why would anybody want to be me? I don't think anyone is trying to be me. I do not aspire to be you hair-wise. Oh, my God. It's horrific.
Yeah. The Robert Smith thing, though. Yeah, that's pretty much it.